Hello, good morning. I hope that wherever you're listening to this, be that in this country or further afield, that you're staying healthy and you're staying positive and you're finding ways to stay connected. I wanted to remind you that Earls Coming Baptist is continuing outside of the building. We've got lots of things happening on Facebook or the website or via email, but more importantly, things happening between members and staff. Beth's house group is still meeting virtually each week. For those of you a bit more tech savvy, do get in touch with her via email or via Facebook and she'll let you know how that's happening. Faye's continuing her house group via email, which is brilliant. I think there's just lots of good things happening with people connecting with each other. So I just want to say, if you are feeling isolated or lonely or in need, then please do not suffer in silence. Give me a call, drop me an email, or reach out to someone as we all try and keep positive and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and give each other hope in these times. We're working our way through Luke 9, so I'm going to read a little bit from Luke 9 just after the Transfiguration, which we did last week, and then we'll pray. So this is Luke 9, verse 37. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." A spirit seizes him and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion, but Jesus rebuked the spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. Father, I pray that this morning we would know something of your presence with us. We would know your peace. We would know your joy. We would know your hope. I pray that wherever we are and whoever we're with, that we will be able to connect deeper with each other. We'll be able to connect deeper with you. We'll be able to keep our eyes focused on you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Be with us as we look at this passage together. In Jesus' name. Amen. The mountain represents our encounters with God. This transfiguration where Jesus goes up with his best mates and they have this incredible experience and heaven opens and Jesus' face starts shining. And I hope that you've had some of those experiences in your life. Maybe you haven't. Maybe that's something you want to pray about. But times where you just feel close to God, it might be through worship, it might be through prayer, it might be through a bit of the Bible, it might be through meditation or communion, but times where we feel our faces shine. Maybe over the next few weeks we could aim to have a few of those. But those experiences are not the end goal. Jesus goes up the mountain with his best mates and has this wonderful experience, but as I wrote about in the email and put out on Facebook this week, that's not the end goal. Has anyone ever walked out of church straight past the big issue cellar? Have you ever left a church meeting or prayer meeting and then almost immediately ignored the call from a needy friend? When we spend time together to worship physically or virtually, when we spend time with God, reading the Bible, prayer, whatever it is that helps us connect with our Maker, it's not just so that we feel good about ourselves for a bit. As wonderful as that is, church shouldn't just be some kind of endorphin high that wears off as soon as we leave the doors. It's to equip us for the rest of life. We go up the mountain to encounter God, not to build a tent there, but so that when we come back down into the valley, back down into the real world, then it helps us live better. It helps us live more like Jesus. And so Jesus comes down back from the mountain, this incredible experience, the transfiguration and the shining lights and everything else. And as he does that, he is immediately confronted with all of this need around him. And firstly, he encounters a real deep need of despair. And I was reading this week. I think that a lot of these things kind of resonate with many of us, many of the people around us in our lives, many things that we read about in the news for our nation and in our world. There's a need of despair. Read it to you again. Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child. I begged your disciples, but they couldn't do it. You ever been disappointed with God? Or with people who were meant to represent God? Or been disappointed with church? Or you ever just been in such despair and anguish? Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child. There's a lot of people around us at the moment who are quite desperate, who are really struggling with doubt or disappointment or hurt. And I think as we come down from the mountains, as we as believers, we spend time with God and then we go back into the real world, as we carry that presence with us, it heightens our senses so that we see around us the despair and the pain that people have got. Now, at this point, I need to make it clear that I am no counsellor. That most of the time when people come up to me, I don't know if you ever find this, but come up to you with like despair or real heart anguish and things like this, and there's quite a large part of me that just thinks, I have not got a clue. I mean, I'm not trained for that. I'm not no psychiatrist or counsellor. I haven't got... That's definitely a professional's job. But as we read this passage, I think we get a glimpse of what we're meant to do, because the disciples couldn't do it. They hadn't taken him to Jesus. They tried to do it themselves. They tried to offer the counselling and offer the advice, or they tried to fix it. And actually, one of the most powerful things that we can do is we come down the mountain, we experience and encounter the need all around us, and we find people who are in despair. What do? We point them to Jesus. Can I pray for you? We point them to Jesus. Can I tell you about this bit in the Bible that says this that might help you at the moment? I point them to Jesus. Do you want to listen to this song? It really spoke to me. Can I point them to Jesus? This is what Jesus did in my life. Maybe he can do something similar in yours. I begged your disciples, but they couldn't do it. And Jesus says, bring your son here. Take people to Jesus. Point people to Jesus. And then there's a need of sickness and poverty. Teacher, I beg you, look at my son, for he is my only child. Now, obviously, that's tragic, because this kid is just having a terrible time of it and really struggling. Obviously, there's a real need of physical sickness. There's a problem here physically, but there's also, for the family of that time, it's a huge problem financially and socially. You've only got one kid. Then that son is meant to kind of perpetuate your family name, and is really important for your family's finances and stuff. Is who's going to look after you when you're growing old? If your one son is unable to earn the money, and in this culture that we're reading about here, that would have had all kinds of serious ramifications. And there's a lot of people at the moment who are sick. There's a lot of people struggling financially. And here in this story, we kind of get both of them represented together. My child, my only child, is sick. And that's got all of these huge implications. When we spend time with God up the mountain, and then as we carry that glory back down into the real world, and I shouldn't say real world, you know what I mean, back down into the day-to-day, the workplace, the family, we should be more aware of the people around us who are sick and impoverished. I always get annoyed at myself when I forget stuff for the food bank. I'm not very good at remembering. I could make excuses like it's Sunday morning, and I often got a lot thinking about Sunday morning and stuff. But actually, it's for those of us who give to the food bank and do that on a Sunday as part of our service, I think that's one of the most important parts of when we gather together. And I'd encourage you, if you can, if there's places at the shops this week and stuff that you can still give to the food bank, because it's all very well praying or singing our songs or reading our sermons or giving our sermons or listening to our sermons or whatever it is. But Jesus said, what you did for the least of these, you did for me. I want to be more aware of the people around me who are suffering through sickness or with poverty, especially now. And how do we respond to that? I think we show them Jesus. If you've got people who are in despair, unless you're a qualified psychotherapist or something, then you are probably not the answer. You walk through things with people and you point them to Jesus. You walk through things with people and you point them to Jesus. For people who are impoverished, then you are the answer. If you've got extra tins, you can give to the food bank. You can fulfill that need of hunger. We show people Jesus. We are Jesus to people in the way that we treat them. Whatever you did to the least of these, you did it to me. People in despair, needs of despair, pointing them to Jesus. Needs of sickness and poverty, we show them Jesus in practical ways of generosity and love. There's also needs of family breakdown or family disconnect. I can't imagine what it must have been like for this family, living in the time they did, where there was so much poverty anyway, and where so much rested on your kids being able to provide for you as you got older. For your only child to be suffering in this way, it must have been so difficult for all kinds of reasons. And as we look around, we see a lot of people got difficulties in their family life. A lot of people struggling with relationships or marriages or the tensions, frustrations, pain, guilt, anger, disconnect, whatever it is. A lot of people's families are not particularly happy a lot of the time. And here in this story, we witness how Jesus responds to this. I have no idea what the family life was like for this kid. But I find it really interesting that in verse 42, Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. Because we have been given a ministry of reconciliation. When we go up the mountain and we become more attuned to God's glory, and as we go back into our day-to-day lives, we are more attuned to the pain around us. We're also more attuned to the family disconnects all around us. And as we do that, we want to bring reconciliation. As followers of Jesus, we want to bring people together, not drive them apart. When Jesus comes into this family, he gives the kid back to his father. The kind of symbol of bringing the family back together, of reunion, of reconciliation, of making things right again. And that's the ministry that we've been given. I think if when people are in despair, we point them to Jesus. We don't try and fix people ourselves. We walk through stuff with people and we point them to Jesus. If there are people around us who are impoverished and need physical help, then we can give that financially or with food or With acts of generosity, we show them Jesus. And I think where there's disconnect in family or where there's conflict, we point people to the Jesus in each other. Jesus drives out the darkness and gives the kid back to the dad. And whenever we come into situations where there's conflict or disconnect, we need to remind each other that we all carry this divine spark, that we are all made in the image of God, that we can all look at each other and see something of Jesus in each other. Whatever you do to the least of these, you do it to me. And as we train ourselves to see the Jesus in each other, as we remind people to treat each other as though they were speaking and acting and loving Jesus himself, as we do that, we enter into this glorious ministry of reconciliation. Jesus healed the boy and gave him back to his father, and they were all amazed at the greatness of God. Over the next few weeks, I hope you get some chance to kind of go up the mountain, to spend time with God, to spend time with his word, to pray. I hope that as you do that, you feel yourself getting brighter and feel the presence of God with you. But don't stop there. That's not the end goal. What we want to do is carry that glory, carry that life, carry that love into every bit of our lives. As we do that, I want to be more attuned to the needs around me, so that I can point people to Jesus, so that I can show people Jesus's love, so that I can remind each other, so I can remind people that there is a Jesus in all of us, that there is a godliness in all of us, that we are all made in the image of God. To some extent, we are all reflecting his divine glory. And as we do that, I hope and I pray that we bring hope to those who have stricken with despair. I pray we can bring relief to those who are impoverished or struggling with sickness. And I pray that we can bring reconciliation to people who are suffering from disconnect in their family. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I ask that you would open our eyes to the needs around us, to the needs in our family, to the needs in our street, to the needs in our workplaces, to the needs in our nation. May we point people to you. May we show them your love. May we bring reconciliation where there's hurt and pain. May we bring your hope and your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do keep an eye out on the website and Facebook page and stuff. We'll put some more stuff up this week. But as I said right at the start, if you are feeling isolated or lonely, then please don't suffer in silence. Please do reach out to someone and try and connect in that way. There's lots of ways that technology can help us do that. This is one of them. But don't suffer in silence. Know that God's with you, and know that we as a church family are getting through this together. Have a good week. Bless you.